Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, I'm having more fun than to be legal. And it's just been a delightful show. You get good people on, and you don't have to worry about do a lot of prep. In fact, matter of fact, you changed the damn show just this morning. Rich knows about that. He knows I'm kind of schizophrenic. I told him I used to make these long, drawn-out show plans, and then they wind up going in the garbage. But anyway, we have to, if we've been talking about, we got Jason Kessler on. Really, really excited to have Jason Kessler coming on. He was the guy who organized the Unite the Right get together back in that place. See, I think they call it Charlottesville. I think they did back in August 12th, 2017. And boy, it was just like turned into a regular picnic, you know. But anyway, we got him on the night, and we just picked up Mr. Green Jeans, Gene Andrews, and we got Rich, hey, the Vanderbilt grad.
I can be insulted at home. I don't have to put up with this, you know. I got no respect.
Gene's been up getting ready to bury General Grant. We'll let him talk about that later. But anyway, we got to introduce. We'll let Jason Kessler introduce himself right now. He's probably thinking, who the hell am I on with a bunch of senile old joking them old guys? But how are you doing tonight, Jason, Mr. Jason Kessler?
I'm doing well. I'm tired. I rushed home from work to be here with you on this program tonight, and I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming. You couldn't be a better place, because I tell you what, you're with a bunch of guys who really admire you, and you got more guts than a pit bulldog. But anyway, Jason, why don't we got Rich Hamlin on, one of my brothers. We got another one of my brothers, Gene Andrews. We were in Charlottesville together. They got a lot more brains than I do. So I've got them on to help me. In fact, they're going to kind of control the show. We're going to let you lead off. And I'll pretty much just bring y'all in and out of the breaks. Go ahead and tell us everything you want to tell us, and we'll let Gene and Rich take turns asking you questions. So go ahead. Where are we going to go from now? We're going to start with the lawsuit. You're going to talk about the after flak from Charlottesville. Go ahead and lead us off, Jason.
Sure, yeah. It's great to be on with other people who are at the rally. You know, I think that as we've seen the powers that be attack the people who went to that rally so viciously and tell so many lies about it. You know, I mean, I think that it really shows how important and how meaningful it was. And the left has just been throwing this temper tantrum for the last, you know, few years. All those tearing down and monuments and stuff is because we did something meaningful back in 2017. And they're not used to that. They're used to, like, spineless Republicans backing down and backing down. And you had people who were standing up with the spine for what they believed in. And things have never been the same since. And what's coming up now, the reason that we're talking about Charlottesville again is because we've had all these legal issues that have come out of it. And it's going to determine protests in America forever, what's going on right now. And we have a big trial coming up in October. You might have already talked some with Michael Hill about that. He's involved in that as well. But it's, you know, these Democrat funded operatives, you know, I mean, they have little groups like they're involved in identity politics groups, whether it's gay or Jewish or whatever it is, feminist. They're involved in all that stuff, but at the end of the day, they're extremely well-funded Democrats. They're being funded by billionaires like Reid Hoffman, the co-founder of LinkedIn, and they're suing a lot of the people who were planned speakers and organizers at the Charlottesville rally. And it's almost 100% made-up BS. But what they're trying to bank on is the fact that there's so much hostility in the public towards us and our message because of how it was covered in the media that, you know, people aren't even going to care about the facts.
Okay.
Well, people, thank you so much for hanging on, because, you know, we've been doing the best we can up here. Like I told you, we're in the middle of the Ozark Mountains. And so please bear with us. We're trying to bring you top quality radio from the – this is the 65th anniversary of the Knights Council of the Ku Klux Klan. And we have – tell me your name one more time, sir.
Leroy Hellback.
Leroy, if you can remember where you were before we lost
– Well, anyway, I think the key thing today, ladies and gentlemen, is we got to start sticking together and really networking with your friends and people that you know. Because I'm telling you, this thing's going to come down here pretty soon. And the South is really, you know, the people down South basically are ready to go. Get your ammo, get your food, and stock up. Because it's coming, and it's coming fast. And the deal is that around here, we've been ready for a long time, pretty much. And we even have people that make a living out of survival foods. 60-day, 90-day, a year's supply, 2 years' supply. We have a lot of people that have food warehouses. And basically, food's going to be a bargaining chip in this coming war. I'm just telling you this because I know what's going on. And the other thing is that fuel. Now, the price of gasoline is going through the roof. You could look here, and I'm a businessman, and I know business, and I know oil. And I'm telling you right now, oil is going out of sight.
Wow.
Now, what's going to happen is...
How's it going to go?
I think it'll go about $5 a gallon here in the fall. On average, because they're going to change over from heating oil to northeast to heat, and a lot of your oil refineries basically are going to be changing here for gasoline. We got spot shortages that are developing everywhere out here in this country right now. And one of the big spot shortages that I'm hearing about from my contacts is food. A lot of restaurants are having a hard time now getting food supplies.
That's scary.
And it's happening now. And I know about Wichita and Tulsa and a lot of those places now. I expect a lot of these restaurants, they're having all kinds of problems getting supplies.
And why is that, sir?
Well, because of the economics and the businesses out there, they got this supply misallocation, it started to get really out of whack. Now, I'm a student of business and a very successful businessman. And we're getting misallocation of supplies out there in our system. It's hard to go to Brahms at some of these fast food places now and get a paper box. It's hard to get utensils. Things are starting to run out, and you better get ready, because your time is running out.
So, give me all together. Give me some more calls. You're a businessman. You've been in the oil. Give me the top five reasons. Why are we having this? Does it have anything to do with the administration? Does it have anything to do with the United Nations? Does it have anything to do with the globalists? Yeah. What are the top? Name the top reasons why we're having trouble.
Okay. The first thing that Biden did when he became president was to do away with the XL pipeline. And basically what he did was now he's changed everything over, see, because President Trump had pretty well set it up where we were going to have an oil pipeline to be able to get oil in here. Now we got different areas of the country got more oil than they need, and we got other parts of the country that have less oil than they need. Now, in California, for instance, in Santa Rosa, and the places out there, the price of gasoline is already over $6 a gallon.
My God, already?
Already. Now, you can just remember President Trump down in Coleman just said a few days ago, he said just a few days ago himself, and you people in Alabama in Mississippi better listen. The price of gasoline is going up over $5 a gallon real soon. You can take that to the bank.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, how about, well, I know this is a dumb question. Yeah. How about diesel? Now, diesel normally is a little more expensive. Sometimes it gets even. What's going to happen to diesel fuel? Because everything we eat, everything we use moves by truck and train. Probably most of it by truck. What's the diesel fuel going to look like?
Well, it's going to be more.
Let me ask you this. How much is this intentional? Do you think it's
I think it's incompetence. These people don't know what the hell they're doing in business or anything. They're gumming up everything really bad. And the deal is that when you do start doing things like this, it takes a while for the system to recover. It's like a business and stuff. And like I said, I taught economics and different things in school. And we're in this tailspin, folks. We're not coming out of this. It's too late. Just get yourself prepared.
Before we go to a break, I'm going to ask you one quick question. Should we take any more migrants? Should we take any more?
No, those people and stuff are just going to be assholes running around. Pardon language, but they're just going to be people running around. They're not going to be worthy of nothing or anything because they're going to be more butt-antsy than anything.
Well, people... we're going to a break now. I was hoping that we were still in the air bear with us because we have had our share of difficulties tonight. That happens when you go on the road and you're in a heavily wooded, isolated area like we are. We'll be right back. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Well, dear people, it looks like it's about 5:19 Central Standard Time in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, September the 4th, Labor Day weekend. We're back. We're still up here in the Ozark Mountains, right slap dab in the middle of them, and that's why we've had our share of trouble, but I expected trouble. I've had trouble all my life, but we're going to keep soldiering on through, trying to control my temper, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, we have a new man here. We'll have Tom. Everybody knows Tomboy. Everybody loves Tomboy. He's going to be after this fellow, right? We got Brother Henry on. And Brother Henry, I'm going to ask you a few questions. We just grabbed him because we're having a little trouble. We're trying to get people in and out of these conferences up here and going to lunch, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody in radio knows how that is when you go on the road. You go to conferences. You got to plan around people when they're going to dinner, when they're going to the bathroom. Everybody's milling around, you know, socializing. Yeah. Anyway, Brother Henry, tell us something about you. I don't know. I just grabbed this dude out of the halls. Hey, man, you want to be on the radio? Get a bail me out of here. He's a rough-looking dude, though, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been in the movement for a very long time. I grew up in it.
How long is a very long time? And you don't look very old.
Well, I grew up with my parents involved. My father was involved in Aryan Nations for a long time. My mother started out in the National Socialist White People's Party in Chicago. I grew up in the Aryan Nations Youth Action Corps.
Wow.
And that's where I kind of started getting involved in the movement.
How long ago was that?
That was back in 1994.
Oh, my God. That's a long time ago. Isn't it, Tom? Golly.
Yeah.
You're just barely on the swaddle going close.
Yeah. I was actually baptized in the Church of Jesus Christ Christian in 94 when I was 3 or 4 years old by Pastor Butler. So,
you met Pastor Butler?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Knew him a couple times.
Wow.
He came down to Texas quite a few times and was a good family friend of ours and real loyal, devout follower of Jesus Christ.
Well, you know what, Brother Henry, you look like you can go bear hunting with a switch. So I'm going to be real careful with you.
Yeah.
I can be really mind my manners here, folks.
Yeah.
But anyway, Brother Henry, why Brother Henry? Why not John Henry, John Henry Brown?
Well,
why not, the bad Leroy Brown? Why Brother Henry?
Well, I'm everyone's brother. I may be the redhead stepchild that no one doesn't want to claim, but I am your brother.
Yeah. Well, that's a good answer, isn't it?
We're all like family here, and we need to treat each other like brethren, like the good Lord tells us, and that's why I just go by the nickname Brother Henry.
Well, that's a good nickname. Well, you said some interesting stuff. So your parents were in like the National Socialists, is that right?
Well, my father actually started in the Klan growing up when he was young, and then he met Pastor Butler at a Klan rally with Louis Beam, and from there on he heard the word of Yahweh. And at first, he kind of viewed identity as a bunch of white power Jews.
I still do. No, I don't really mean that. You're not a white power Jew by any chance.
No.
But even if you are, I'm still going to speak nice because you look right. Like a badass. But anyway, go.
But
this dude
is
some kind of
after that, like Rocky Marciano. He just got really involved with Aryan Nations, and that's how him and my mother met. They had several children and raised us the right way. And, we grew up in the movement and supporting the cause and, this great awakening for our people. So,
well, you couldn't be a Marine because you got parents. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
It was a big rodeo.
I got drafted. I was trying to get in the Marines, but, and they were going to get me in, man, but they found out my parents are married, so they kicked me out. But anyway, I hope Gene Andrews listens tonight. Mr. Marine Jeans. Mr. Green Jeans. But anyway, we can't call him Mr. Marine Jeans anymore because he took his medals and took them to the recruiting station.
Ooh.
Yeah, he took them and told them what they could do with the medals because they kicked a young man out because he had a Confederate battle flag tattooed, I think, on one of his shoulders. So, Gene Andrews.
Well, I guess that's that new woke society. They just want to erase our history, and anyone that wants to be a proud white man, they don't want us to know that. So.
You said something interesting. You told me that you were retired from the Klan. Do you get a commission from the Robs or anything?
No. I wish. I was actually part of a different Klan group for years, and after Aryan Nations disbanded in 2007, I moved on to a different organization at the time, and then, it kind of disbanded and went its own way, and I'm still active in the movement myself. I organize gatherings and events and a couple of concerts and everything when I can, and, do whatever we can to bring people together. And I actually run a website called whitepower.org, and we promote a little bit of everybody on there. We support everyone's radio shows that are pro-life.
I think you sent me an email. You told me, you know, I'm the world's worst about speaking of radicals. One just walked up here. I'm telling you, I don't know if we, I don't know if we should have him on the show or not, because he's just too radical for me, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's
great guy.
He's
great
worse than a Marine Nazi.
Yeah.
But anyway, anyway, we'll have to get him on in a few minutes. We get him up there. Off the floor up there.
Don't make them shake us up now.
Well, sure. Well, listen, give me your assessment of what's the difference in the Klan and the Aryan Nations?
Well, it kind of really wasn't a difference. The Klan was more of a fraternity to a lot of us. Aryan Nations and the Klan at the time had the same philosophy of serving God, race, and nation. And you know, that was the whole core of both of those organizations to me. That's why I fell so closer to the Klan after Aryan Nations disbanded. The real one, at least, you know, not the what the media puts it out to be a gang or anything, you know, of course. And, you know, the media always makes us out to be a bunch of Hollywood Nazis. That's not, you know. But other than that, though, you know, I loved the Klan for years and everything, and still support the Klan of different groups and everything, and do my part to, you know, help spread the word and support everybody.
Brother Henry, two questions. I see you have a wedding band on your hand. Does that mean you're actually married? Does this mean this radical, hate-filled Nazi has actually followed God's law and married the one? You're not just shacking up? You just married the one?
Oh, I'm married. I'm married.
You know, you busted my bubble, man.
Yeah.
You're tamer than I thought you were. I thought you were this wild, radical.
Oh,
bull,
no.
You gotta
I think my
show,
wife's
man,
more
man.
Radical
off the show
than
with
me,
you.
To be honest. You know, her father was in the Klan, too. And, you know, she's been on Jerry Springer a couple times.
No
knocked out. What was his name? The JDL leader. I can't remember his name, man. Gave him a black eye on live TV.
Nope, get that one, son.
Yeah. Well, that was back in the 90s. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. So what is the message? You said you spread. What's the message?
Just, you know, given the awareness of what's happening to our people, you know, we're seeing this great genocide that's upon us right now. And the one thing is, in the last 4 years, so many people have awakened. You know, in my involvement in the movement, it's been almost 30 years now, and seeing my parents involved, I don't think we have ever been this excited in the movement.
Oh, really?
Before. Yes. And I think this is the most exciting times, because we have seen this great awakening to our people, and we have so many youngsters and people in the youth that have rejected the sick, filthy world that they're tired of. And
that is really great news. And I may add, all joking aside, he's clean cut.
Yeah.
He's not chewing tobacco. Even that wouldn't make any difference. He's not snaggle teeth. He has great teeth.
Yeah.
Like I say, he's dressed immaculately. Just a good, honest guy. You hear he's eloquent as anyone you ever want to speak to. Do you have any children?
No, I'm working on that right now.
You keep it up, son.
Oh, yeah. Trying to.
It's hard. Come on, you got to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're getting there.
You'll be there the most important part.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Hopefully, I can have as many as God is willing to give me.
Well, I hope so, too. Brother Henry, before you go, we're getting ready to go to break. What is your assessment today of this kind of this is called the Knights Congress?
Yeah.
So far, but did you come up today or yes? When did you get here?
I just got here today.
Okay.
So,
but this is not your first time here. So far today, what time did you get in?
We're running kind of late. We got here about 10:40.
10:40. So. Okay. So you've been here since 10:40.
Yeah.
What is your assessment of the crowd in general, so far? You know, is it better or worse than in the past? And how would you rate them as core normal people you see on the street every day?
Oh, the normal people. They're just like you and me right now sitting together. You know, ain't a bunch of crazy radicals or, you know, Hollywood Klansmen everybody wants to put out there.
We're going to a break in 10 seconds. Tell our audience a message. What would you like your audience to do? 10 seconds.
Stay proud. Get out there. Spread the word. And continue the fight.
Thank you so much, Brother Henry. Thank you so much. I'm really impressed with you, son. People will be right back. and we're at the bottom half of the second hour. We'll be right back. We've got Tom Bowie coming up.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. Retired Navy Admiral and Republican Texas Representative Ronnie Jackson told Newsmax on Friday that at least seven of his constituents are being held in Afghanistan, calling them hostages.
The Taliban won't release the flight until September the 9th because they want to be recognized as an official government. They want to be officially recognized as a legitimate government before then. And I guarantee you, these hostages we have, they're hostages right now being held until the American, until the United States, until the Biden administration recognizes the Taliban as a government.
An anarchist group that has voiced support for Antifa appeared to encourage its followers to burn down police stations until flowers grow in the wreckage of the system. This is the third precinct in Minneapolis today. The group CrimeThink posted on Twitter Friday, along with a picture of a Minneapolis police station that was torched during Black Lives Matter rioting. This is USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio is looking for a co-host. Yes, you heard me correctly. Nationally syndicated radio show and popular podcast, Rockstar Radio with Billy Gerard, is looking for a co-host. In fact, two segment co-hosts. One will join Billy weekly talking about all things financial, and another for a weekly review of the national real estate and mortgage market. Co-hosting with Billy Gerard could be the move that puts your career into overdrive. For all the details and to schedule an audition with Billy, send an email to bill@rockstar.today. That's bill@rockstar.today. Or go to rockstar.today/co-host for all the details. Rockstar Radio is looking for two expert co-hosts. It could be you. Email bill@rockstar.today or go to rockstar.today/co-host. Being on the radio with Billy will make you the expert in the field. It could take your career over the moon. Get all the audition details at rockstar.today/co-host.
The Department of Justice will try to step in and do something about Texas' abortion bill. Constitutional lawyer Jenna Ellis tells Newsmax that Democrats need to remember what federalism entails.
Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi need to remember that while they use these terms saying unconstitutional, they need to remember federalism. And they need to remember that their specific enumerated powers do not give the federal government any power to tell the state of Texas or any other state what they can do to protect life in their state.
Prince Wafa, a U.S. citizen from San Diego, called the State Department to find out how he could get himself and his wife out of Afghanistan. The U.S. official on the other end assured him that the Biden administration would not leave any citizen in the country. The official told them they would call back with directions on how to leave the country. No call ever came. Wafa once again called the State Department to find out what had happened. The State Department hung up on him, according to The Intercept. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something funny.
Well, people, we got two more segments to go. No, it looks like we got straightened that pretty good. I'm having a ball. I was getting awfully frustrated there for a while because I put so much into this trip. But we're right back. We're one of my favorite people in the world up here. I was so glad he was here, not just because he makes the best coffee in the world, because he's a very unique guy. His name is Mr. Tom Bowie. Tom, for our new listeners that don't know you, give a little bit of background about yourself.
I'm an ornery old man now. I used to be a shy child. My mother asked what happened to me, and I told her I got mad as hell and wasn't going to take it no more.
that's good enough for me. Now, I've been told, if I'm up to best of my knowledge, you originally were from Maryland.
Yes, sir. And when I came up here, I spent 21 days on the road. My truck had pro-white placards on it. I didn't hear any discouraging words. Oh. The closest I came to discouraging words was when I made an accidental turn through Menfrica.
and when I wound down the window and started waving and saying, "How y'all colored folks doing this morning?" They decided I might be a little too out there for them to mess with.
Wow, that takes some cojones. That reminds me of the time back about 1990. My first year at University of Memphis nursing school, I took off for the summer, drove down to Metairie, Louisiana. I was gone 23 and a half hours. I went down there to see, listen to David Duke give a speech. Went to West Metairie. Had to stop in, you're talking about black Africa, man. And I had the David Duke for United States Senate stickers on my truck. Had gun racks in the back of my truck. You're talking about a redneck truck, four-wheel drive Dodge Ram. And the blacks were nice. They said, "Oh, yeah, man, Duke, yeah, you know, go cross this bridge right here." I tell you what, that Huey P. Long bridge, Huey T. Long, that is one hairy mother, especially in the middle of the night in one of these big old wide trucks. But anyway, so when you went to Memphis, have you been back?
No, I haven't been back. I, in a way, wanted to, but there's so much to do here. We have a community we're building. We have a refuge for white people to come to. And hopefully they come with the attitude I did. There is no place for us to run and live peacefully. They're coming after you no matter where you are. If you find a stronghold, you better be ready to defend it, or it won't be a stronghold for very long. Every voice counts, no matter what it does. I don't care what someone does. I don't care how they go about it. I care that they try. If we had a united front, it would be easy to cut the head off. But we don't. We have 1,001 approaches, and one of them is going to pierce their defenses and end this anti-white system.
Wow. Well spoken. My sentiments exactly. And I'm trying to think of something intelligent to say, Tom. That's hard for me, you understand.
Well, I don't do that well either. But I don't care if it's the arts and crafts division that have so triggered people in the past. Simply by putting up a message, it's okay to be white. They were basically making fun of the anti-whites. And it triggered them. It hurt them. Because it was an undeniable truth. It was an understated truth. And they couldn't stand the truth. It hurt them. The truth is a deadly poison to them.
Yes, yes, yes. That's one thing that you cannot get by with in this society. I'll second that. You can't get by with the truth. Tom, you said something I wholeheartedly agree. You said that they're coming after us and there's no place to run. What are they going to do when they catch us?
They are going to diversify us, get us to the point of South Africa, and then they're going to ramp it up. The only reason South Africa is not long finished is because it's so hard to hide what's going on. So they commit one rampage of violence, a steady stream of murder, another rampage of violence, a steady stream of murder, and they're whittling them down. When they get to the point we don't have a sanctuary, we don't have a place where we can hang together, where we can be united, they won't be any respite between the rampage. It's designed to be full on, finish the job.
Spoken, my sentiments exactly. I totally agree. And, you know, Tom, I'm thinking right now, back, I think it was in the spring, when I want you to tell the people what happened up here in the spring. Antifa, BLM came from all parts of the compass to this location. And you know what, people? It is totally isolated here. These precious people are in the middle. A city boy like me seems like in the middle of nowhere. We're surrounded on all sides by mountains. Some of the areas here is impenetrable thickets and brush and trees. There's copperheads everywhere. I'm surprised they told me they don't see any rattlers. And I was surprised they got cottonmouths up here because it's so high up for cottonmouths. But, Tom, I know you were here, I think it was in the spring, when all this riffraff rabble came to here. Tell them a little bit about that, what happened. Because this is the middle of nowhere, and you said there's no place to hide. So continue on there.
You can research Zinc, Arkansas. See how small a population it is. The fire department there became their target. They were coming up to the area of the Klan, but then at the last minute, they decided to hit the fire department. It was on the way anyway, and it was the last place they could get any phone reception.
Wow.
They showed up heavily armed, threatening to take over the fire department or burn it to the ground, and they brought two flamethrowers with them to prove it.
And this is a, get this, this is not an armory, it's not a clammy, it's a fire department. The fire department is there to save lives. And by the way, Tom, is he is pretty much the fire department. And Tom, you're about the only emergency medical person they have up here, right?
Oh, no, I'm the least of that. I just happen to have a lot of free time, so I get to go on all the calls.
Okay.
But we do have an EMT and three highly qualified medical first responders in addition to myself.
Okay. But the majority of the time, though, do they have other jobs?
Yes. They all have other jobs. And if they're at work,
it's you or nothing.
It's me or nothing. And I'm furthering my medical training in order to serve them better.
God bless you. God bless you. Now... When they, it was you, who all was at the fire? Was it just you while you're lonesome at the fire department that day that this rabble came? These feral animals came to harass you.
Yeah, I had more or less told everybody else to stay away. I didn't know I was going to get backup support from everywhere, but we had patriots from all over Arkansas show up, and they were vastly outnumbered. They weren't particularly where you could necessarily see them, but they were there and they had my back. And it was only 12 hours before they arrived that I came to the realization, I'm going to live throughout the day.
Well, I know this is probably, I'm wearing that term rhetorical. Am I right in telling the people? I mean, I had to get Jason and Rob had to leave me in yesterday because I got lost and I couldn't find this place. Were you surprised that that many rabble, that many feral mad dogs came out here to try to attack a fire station? Why not an orphan's home or something? But since they came from, I've heard they came from Columbia, Missouri. Kansas City, Little Rock, Springfield, all parts. Is that true? Did they fantify?
Yes, they came from everywhere. And I was not particularly surprised. This area is too white. That's something they can't stand. It's a sanctuary. It's a wonderful place. It has its problems. But that's the main thing. It's too white. Diversity always means less white people, and full diversity is no white people whatsoever. And even if they achieve that, they've been whipped up into such a frenzy of hatred for our people that then they would turn on their own. They would find someone who's a little light-skinned. You're too white. They would like to wipe out every vestige, every partial bit of our memory.
Well, Tom, we've come to a break. So thank you so much, Tom. You're always one of my favorites. I was hoping you'd be here to make that coffee, and sure enough, you was. Thank you so much, Tom. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
People are going to our last break, and we're going to bring another great guest on today that I heard him speak a little bit. Anyway, we'll be right back. Hold on to your seats.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Well, dear people, man, this has been one heck of a ride coming in and out of connection, but we have our last guest here. He has a Greek name. I'll let him pronounce his name for you. He's very interesting. He gave a talk today about a very famous person in our movement who's now deceased, but I'll let him tell all about that. Give us your name, sir, if you will.
My name is Pete.
There you go, Pete. Way to go, Pete.
Well, nice to be in your show, Eddie.
It's so great to have you. I wished I could have heard more of your talk. I've been able to hear precious few people speak today. It's been I've been trying to get the show going all day long. We tested real early this morning, Pete, and we were going great guns. We cut in, cut out. So we've been soldiering on through. But listen, I've heard you. Are you associated with the American Free Press?
I sure am.
Tell us, how are you associated with American Free Press?
Well, I was a writer for American Free Press, and I had other duties. I was a writer for American Free Press from 2010 to 2016 or so, right? I also had other duties. I was the political cartoonist. I did all the political cartoons. I was outreach manager. I was sent throughout the country to attend conferences and represent American Free Press, try to get new subscriber, sell books, that kind of thing. So I had a lot of things, but I was a writer for several years. And then I left, and then Willis Carter died. He passed away in 2016, I believe it was. He gave his last public speech here at Pastor Rob's in this
wow.
place. Right. And I started working at American Free Press in 2009. I gave Willis, I really looked up to Willis. He was the reason I went to work for American Free Press. Certainly wasn't the money, because sure. It wasn't really, you know, it was one of those things. But I didn't care at the time. I was just thrilled to be around Willis Carter. Michael Collins Piper was there. You know, Victor Thorne was writing there. You know, all these people that, I don't know if you know any of those people that I mentioned, yeah, there were writers. And have you ever heard of Michael Collins Piper? He wrote several
books.
Yes,
sir. He was a giant. I wish I could. How long has he been deceased?
2014.
I wished I'd come in and started following these speakers earlier. Yeah. I used to be a fan of Sam Francis. He wrote for the Washington Times.
Right.
And Sam Francis, I thought, was like the guru of all gurus.
Well, I'm a member of the Council of Conservative Citizens in my area. And we often, Sam Francis is sort of like an idol. He's a founding
yes.
Member, whatever, you know.
Yes, have a lot in common, my brother. well, listen, I'm very, very curious and excited about hearing. Tell us a little bit about Mr. Willis Carter. He was equal to or greater than Sam Francis. Is that right in the movie?
Well, in a different way. Willis Cardo, as I mentioned in my speech, here's the thing. Okay, so in 2016, I had put out a book with Victor Thorne, really Victor Thorne, and but it was a lot of my writing, called America's Racial Powder Keg.
Aha.
Right, and it was one of the best sellers at American Free Press at the time, right? And Rachel had interviewed me for the book because it was about, you know, the race issue, right? You know, so and this was when all the Ferguson riots were going on, and we were mentioning, you know, how Al Sharpton was involved and Jesse Jackson and playing the race card and all this kind of stuff. And it's what we come to see now with Black Lives Matter. That's really what I was writing about. So anyway, so they invited me to be a speaker here, and Willis Carter was also came that year with his wife. And actually, there was a photo where he was with a shovel along with Dr. Ed Fields,
no kidding,
and Pastor Rob, and they were right there breaking ground for that building that we now have seen to be up there. Right?
Was Paul Fromm here then?
Yes, Paul Fromm was here that year.
How about Tom Sunick?
No, Tom Sudnick was not. Paul Frum was. So I spoke about the book at the time, and Willis spoke. And it was his last public speech, and he passed away that fall.
Wow.
And Pastor Rob came up there, and he did the eulogy at the funeral. He was the pastor at the funeral, right? Man. And Rachel came up there also in the National Cemetery, Arlington National Cemetery. He's buried in Arlington. He was a World War II hero. I mean, you know, he had a Purple Heart and what have you. So anyway, he's buried at National Cemetery. So Pastor Rob came and did the eulogy. And then they invited me to be a speaker again the following year in the spring. They have a conference in the spring around Easter time here. Right. So I came here. So this time I came here to bring them a painting as a present for their building of Willis Cardo that I had done for him in 2010. As soon as I worked, because I just looked up to him so much, there wasn't a painting yet of Willis Carter. You know, like important people have paintings. I'm like, he ought to have a painting. So I did it for him. I gave him to him for his birthday, right? So it's been hanging in the office of American Free Press ever since then. And I had promised to Tom Robb that I would give it to him. So I took it from there and I brought it to him so he can put it up in his museum there, because he has other Willis Carter items there. He's got a Bible that Willis Carter had with him while he was in World War II with a bullet on it, I think. Something like that, yeah. So, So that's why I am here, and that's my connection to Willis Carter. And Willis Carter was essentially the godfather of the American right from 1955 to 2016 when he died. He published, you know, the American Free Press, the Barnes Review, the Spotlight before that, which had like 350,000 subscribers back in 1980, was by far the biggest alternative outlet in America before the internet, right? You know?
Well, pardon me. I feel like I'm sitting in the presence of Nathan Bedford Forrest, Robert E. Lee, and Thomas Jefferson. I feel like when you start talking about Willis Carter and Ed Fields,
Willis Carter was the greatest American patriot that I have known in my life.
Michael Collins Piper, people like that. I mean, Victor Thorne.
Victor Thorne was my best friend.
No kidding.
Yeah, and his son called me the morning after when he killed himself.
Oh, God.
He told him, and I hadn't written for American Free Press for like a year, and he wrote on his suicide note that he wanted me to write the obituary for him.
Wow.
Anyway, well, I don't want to get into that.
Yes, sir, of course.
But Victor Thorne, but Willis Carter was also like my best friend. You know, he slept at my house like 20, 30 times. I've been to his house dozens of times. So I got to be, my greatest achievement in life is to have been like Willis's best friend for, you know, the last 5, 6, 10 years of his life, or one of his good friends anyway. So there you have it. And Victor Thorne was my best friend. Mike Piper was also my idol, was the other second reason I went to work at America Free Press, because I used to look up to him so much. I had written some of his books, I read his books, and I was reading the AFP since the beginning, because I was a subscriber of the Spotlight for the last couple of years of its publication, right?
Yes, sir.
So about 2001, the spotlight ceased to exist and American Free Press continued as the same with Willis Cardo. So Willis Cardo was responsible. If you look into Willis Cardo, he published American Right publications since the 1950s, has helped, had the Liberty Lobby, where he was helping a lot of people like George Wallace.
George Wallace. Oh,
oh
man.
Yeah. Well, Willis was a huge George Wallace supporter. And the organization that was spawned from that, Youth from Wallace, which was thousands of people, became the National Alliance.
I think
with Dr. Pierce, who also used to work for Willis Cardo. And he also used to help George Lincoln Rockwell. I don't know if you know who George Lincoln Rockwell was.
Oh, I have a little, yes, I know a little bit about him.
Well, the only surviving member of George Lincoln Rockwell's crew is Bernie Davids, who came here with me, and he's inside. So.
Oh, no kidding.
You might want to delay your, when you know,
well,
stay
I'll
here a little
him
longer.
Him next week. Do not let him get away if we have to put handcuffs on him. I've got to get his information.
And he brought Rockwell's press here. It's in the museum.
Yes, sir.
He's the one that printed the books This Time the World, Bernie. Yes.
He sure did that press. That's right. This George Lincoln Rockwell's press that he used to print is within 150 yards of where I'm sitting in this building. It's a museum that's up there. Well, let me ask you.
And the guy that printed the stuff is within, you know, 100 feet the other way from you.
But, wow. I do not let him. I'll get his name and contact before you leave. We'll put handcuffs on you. Well, listen.
And one last thing, just to pat myself on the back a little more.
I'll pat you too.
Almost equal accomplishment as having been good friends with Willis Cardo is having been very good friends with Jim Traficant. Congressman Jim Traficant, whom I brought to be writing for American Free Press until he was murdered.
Jim Traficant.
Until he was murdered. So Traficant, again, was one of my best friends.
He was
one of
my supreme heroes.
Well, I was the guy that brought him to American Free Press, and he wrote for us. I went to see him when he came out of prison. I went to Youngstown, Ohio to see Willis sent me, as soon as I started working at American Free Press in 2009, Willis says, you want to go to Youngstown? Jim Traficant's coming out of prison. It's a big party. What are you trying to represent American Free Press? I'm like, okay. So, Jim, and if you can get an interview. I didn't, but eventually I did, because he was giving interviews to like Sean Hannity at the time and all these big guys, because he had just come out of prison. He was an 18-year congressman that they had thrown in there for 7.5 years. But a month later, he called me, and I went up, and I got the interview. Not only did I interview him, I got him to be a writer for American Free Press.
You mean Congressman James Traficant wrote for this?
American Free Press.
I had no idea.
From 2009, late 2009, until they killed him in 2014.
They flat killed him. I came with any hair getting him on when I used to be.
Well, the tractor was supposed to capsize, like, upside down and kill them. When he was just parking it in the garage. How does a tractor pop a wheelie and tip over that way when you're just trying to park it in the garage?
They flat killed him, and we all know why, and we all know who did it. It's the same.
I went up there. I talked to the coroner. I talked to the police chief, the fire chief. I went up there to the farm. I looked at the tractor at night with flashlights.
Wow.
He was a good buddy of mine. I mean, I knew his wife and everything. So I went up there. I wrote about it in American Free Press, and I spoke to the coroner. I called him like 10 times.
Can we get that back issue that you wrote?
What back issue?
The one you drove.
Yeah, if you're at American Free Press, if you call them and,
I have to have one of those.
But anyway, sorry I was rambling, but yeah,
you're a once in 25 years.
So I was his go-to guy at American Free Press. We organized all these conferences. I traveled with him to Europe, to California, over the place. We were best buds with Jimbo.
We've got tell the audience in 10 seconds what they can do to help the movement.
Oh, gee, what do I know? You know, whatever their heart tells them, you know?
I wish I had 10 more seconds. I was going to ask you what's changed since 1955, but we're completely out of time. Thank you so much, Pete. God bless you. I got to get your information. You can't go anywhere. People, okay. Thank you so much for hanging in. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Cameron.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
You're very welcome. Thank all the great guests we have tonight. We'll have to get some more on when I come back. I'll be back. Well, I'll be back in Alabama next week, as God willing. So we'll be on the road again. I hope we have better reception down there than we do here. Anyway, good night, everybody. Good night, Jay.